ETC is go.
Frankenmuth is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot off.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SPU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 8th of March. Welcome to it, folks. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Just fine. What was that?
The ice pack I had on my knee just fell to the floor.
Oh.
I banged my knee before we got on air.
Oh.
And not the kneecap itself, but the, you know, soft spot above it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to prevent it from blowing up like a balloon.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Well, I don't know. It's nice and red and frozen.
Well, the things we have to go through, folks. I'm telling
true.
You. Well, I'll tell you what, Diane, we've got an interesting show coming up, folks, tonight. You are covering Ukraine's hell, only one solution is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm covering the cause, effect, and ripple effects of globalism.
Yes, you are.
Obviously, there's been some things happening in the Russia-Ukraine situation.
True.
Friday's show, this coming Friday, probably going to be mostly about Ukraine again.
We're not going to have a choice, to be honest with you, because it has so dominated the news. I mean, Biden even twisted today his not buying Russian oil, you know, into Ukraine.
Right. So, I mean, and things are happening fast.
Yes.
There's a lot that's been going on. You and I have been up late nights and early mornings and trying to track it and, you know, write articles and do everything we need to do. And it's really becoming difficult at best.
It is. Well, you know what's more upsetting to me than just something being difficult? I cannot believe the amount of people on social media who are actually thinking Ukraine is wrong, Russia is right, and Zelensky is the problem, that he caused all the problems.
Yeah.
What these people forget is Zelensky just became Ukraine's president in mid-2019. All the bad things that happened that Hunter and Daddy were involved with happened during the Obama years.
Well, and there's a lot of people that think, for whatever reason, that Obama installed Zelensky as president. He did not.
He did not. The people installed him. They had fair elections. You know, whether these naysayers want to believe it or not, they actually had fair elections.
The people of Ukraine actually voted out of office the guy that Obama got into office.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's a simple matter of looking at the timeline, if nothing else. I mean, good grief, just Google, when did Zelensky become president? And that'll tell you. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not rocket science, but there's a lot of people that just refuse to do the research. And
exactly.
Along those lines, they're attributing all sorts of stuff that's going on there to Zelensky when it's Putin that's doing it. You know, I've been in kind of arguing on Facebook with a guy for the past couple of days, and he swears up and down that Zelensky's the problem, and Zelensky provoked Russia into doing this. And I'm like, what? What are you talking? I said, you know, at one point I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I suspect neither do you.
That's a good one.
But there's all sorts of that stuff. And you and I both noticed, you noticed it before I did. There's a lot of pro-Putin, anti-Zelensky crap over on MeWe.
MeWe is probably worse than Facebook, because the people that are pro-Putin, when I, let's say, put up one of the memes showing support for Zelensky in Ukraine, they actually come back with vulgarities, nastiness, hate. I mean, really unadulterated hate, because I support Zelensky in Ukraine. But they have no reason except like what you said. Zelensky is the bad one, this and that. And I can't tell you how many times I have also said Zelensky was not president when the bad, corrupt things happened in Ukraine. And sure, there's some corruption still left there, but it doesn't compare to the corruption in the Obama-Biden administration.
Well, no, and Zelensky, you know, up until this all took place, had his hands full trying to drain their swamp.
Exactly.
You know, Zelensky's very pro-West, very pro-America. He was a big admirer, excuse me, of President Trump. You know, he is not the issue over there.
No, he's not.
But let me ask you this. You know, when we see all that stuff, and we see it on Facebook and on MeWe and other places too, do you think that some of that is coming from Russian plants that are posting that stuff up, hoping that it'll catch on and gullible people will buy into it?
Do you know what, Craig? Before certain things happened to me starting this week, I would have said no. But now I'm not so sure, because, well, Craig, you know, but our listeners don't know. For the past few days, I've been getting, like, I'll write something, and all of a sudden, it turns into Russian.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is really, really weird, because my protection on my machine tells me nobody's hacking you. My Dell program, where they immediately notify me if something is going on, says, no, you're clean. So I might not be hacked, but for some reason, I think I'm being ghosted.
You know, it's a distinct possibility, and I think, because I, you know, when I see the news feed rolling by, more so on Facebook than on MeWe, because I don't really recognize a whole lot of names that I see in the feed on MeWe. But generally speaking, I recognize most of the names that come through my news feed on Facebook.
Sure.
And then I'll see something that's really pro-Putin, pro-Russia. And I'll look at the name, and it's not a name, I swear, it's not a name I've ever seen before.
True. I've been finding that, too. I think Facebook has also been infiltrated. You know, we don't know yet where Zucky stands on this.
No, he's been pretty tight-lipped, other than the fact that Facebook and Twitter and, you know, some of the platforms, social media platforms, have been cutting off the Russians, but,
right.
You know, we don't know. And that's kind of a weird thing, too, and I'll get into that when I talk about the globalism aspect of this later in the show. But, you know, that's kind of a weird thing, too. But, you know, all of this stuff that's going on, and there's a lot of people out there saying, well, there's not even a war. The war's all made up. It's a false flag.
Right.
And it's like, come on.
Yeah, I had one And I won't say his name because he's a good guy. He's actually an ex-veteran. He's very devout in his religious beliefs, but he's a good guy. And he sent me something yesterday and said, you've got to see this video. It's all a lie. It's Ukraine that's doing all the killing. And I messaged him back and I said, this is BS. How can you, a smart person, think that even the mainstream media could put together this whole narrative and it go worldwide? What you're looking at here is nonsense.
Well, it is. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff that people are posting and you look at what we're actually seeing. And mm-hmm. all you got to do is open your eyes and you can tell the difference. You know, the Ukrainians are not bombing their own people. They're not bombing their own cities. You know, for goodness sakes. And
you know, one of the things, and no one has brought this up, but something I really admire about the Ukrainians is you look at our southern border and it's an invasion of young men who could care less about their women and children they left behind. Here with the Ukraine refugees, it's predominantly women and children because the men are staying behind to fight.
Right.
I mean, I was brought up, my father was in the military. I was brought up to believe that if something happens, you fight for your country. You don't run away, but you protect the vulnerable, the women, the children, the sick, the elderly. But South America, the men are all running away, coming here for their freebies. But the Ukrainian men are staying and fighting.
I mean, that should tell you a lot.
It should. And it tells you a lot about Zelensky. You know, he might have been an actor in the past and a comedian in the past, but he has morphed into a hero. He really has. Today, it was either late yesterday or early today, he actually did a video and announced where he was, that he's not afraid of anybody.
Well, and he also today did one of those Zoom calls with the British Parliament.
Right.
And, you know, he said, I'm not running. We're not running. We're staying put. We're fighting for our country. And when he got done with that, the British Parliament gave him a standing ovation.
Yes. Yeah, you know who he reminds me of? A young Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, you know. You don't expect, I mean, first of all, he doesn't have all the years on him that a guy like Netanyahu or Ronald Reagan had. You know, he's still a relatively young man.
He's only 45.
Yeah, and, you know, but this has really, really put some wisdom on him, I think. You know, he's different than what everybody thought. Very different.
They thought he would run and hide. But, you know, other things I'm seeing on Facebook, and this gets me really furious. A lot of the hate for Zelensky is coming because he's a Jew.
Right.
And it's awfully funny that it's two Jews, Zelensky and Netanyahu, who really have become heroes for their countries.
Yeah. It's remarkable when you look at the tenacity of the Ukrainian people right now. You know, no country should have to go through what they're going through. This is unprovoked on Russia's part. Ukraine didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to provoke this.
No, Ukraine you said was, unprovoked. You meant this is not, Ukraine did not provoke it.
Yeah, I thought that's what I said.
No.
Oh, okay. But, you know, I said this is unprovoked. Ukraine did not provoke this. They did nothing to Russia. They, you know, Ukraine, they're, you know, NATO has said over and over again, Ukraine is not going to be a part of NATO.
They're considering, they accepted their application a couple of days ago.
Well, that was to the EU, not to NATO. That was to the European Union.
Oh, yeah, you might be right about that. Yeah. You might be right about that.
And those wheels grind slowly, too. You know, that's not an instant deal. They have to go through the process. But, you know, this whole thing, you know, initially, Russia said, well, you know, we're going to do this because we don't want NATO next door to us. We don't want them on our border. But, you know, I brought this up a good 2 weeks ago on this show. I said, well, then what are they doing taking over Ukraine? Because that is going to put Russia on the doorstep of NATO.
But it's okay if Putin does it, but it's not okay if the rest of the world does it.
Right.
But,
it's crazy.
NATO, and unfortunately our country under Biden, we have promised Zelensky and Ukraine a lot of weapons and this and that and planes and all sorts of things. Nothing has really been delivered enough to be operational. They're still putzing around in Poland with the planes because everybody's afraid of Putin and his empty threats of a nuclear war. NATO is a big letdown, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, they are, but, you know, this is not a NATO country that's involved in this thing. But, you know, here's the deal with those NATO planes. Poland is now saying they're going to deliver, I think it's some MiG-29s to Germany. And when they get them to Germany, then the Ukrainian pilots will pick them up there and fly them back.
Don't you see the problem here? We're already 10 or right now it's probably 11 days in Ukraine, 11 days into the war, and no planes have been delivered.
I know.
They keep stalling and stalling and stalling. It's only to Putin's benefit. So they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. There would be no problem. The plane should have been delivered immediately.
I agree wholeheartedly, you know, but everybody's afraid because, if we give the Ukraine pilots planes, it's going to piss off Putin. And I don't know if they've noticed or not, but Putin is in a perpetual state of pissed off.
Yeah. And Putin is also pissed off at his own military leaders, because something that he thought would be a cakewalk has turned out to be actually insulting to the Russian military. They were supposed to be one of the world's great militaries, and a ragtag group of Ukrainians is holding them off. But here's an interesting question that I was thinking about today.
All right.
This thing that's going on in Ukraine and these brave people fighting for their country, would you stay and fight for your country, or would you escape to save your lives and your families? I thought about it long and hard. I would actually stay and fight for my country. I can shoot. I know how to shoot. And if that's my destiny, to die defending my country, I can think of a hell of a lot worse ways to die.
I agree. And, you know, part of it is, where would I escape to? South Dakota? Kansas? I mean, what? You know, where am I going to go?
Canada.
Yeah, but, you know, you really want to go to Canada now?
Where am I going to swim to? Mexico, Cuba, Venezuela?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the problem. I mean, you know, Canada's deeply socialist right now. True. I'm not sure I'm gaining much by going to Canada.
True. Okay? No, I just say it in a broader, you know, range. How many of these people on social media would actually stay and defend their country like the Ukrainians are doing?
Well, it all depends on who you are, okay?
And it depends on which party you're in, I'm sure.
I think if you're a member of the militia, you would say you would stay and fight, but you probably wouldn't. Okay, and it pains me to say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, where has the militia been? All talk, no show.
That's true.
Okay.
And we've spoken about that before.
Personally, I think I would stay right where I am. And mm-hmm. I would be the guy making IECs.
Okay.
Improvised explosive cows.
I'd be making Molotov cocktails here.
Well, then I'm coming down to your place for the cocktail party.
Yeah. But then again, you know, we have the firearms to at least take up arms against invaders. I would not leave my home. Oh, and this brings up another thing that I so respect with the Ukrainians. When they're fleeing, they're taking their pets with them.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I noticed that in some of the video that's been coming out of there. Mm-hmm. People with maybe one backpack full of their belongings and their dog.
Yeah, cats in cages. Yeah. I mean, I give them so much credit. Think about it this way. When we have, let's say, a hurricane here, and people have to go to shelters, very, very few shelters will allow you to bring one pet. The Ukraine people are carrying them, putting them in their pockets, carrying multiple cages. They care about their fur babies.
Well, it says a lot for the people.
And they're not leaving them behind to be, you know, killed by Russian bombs. Well, I also respect them for that reason.
Let's give some kudos, too, to the people in Poland who are, in a lot of cases, taking these refugees into their own homes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I saw an article today where the Polish people are leaving baby strollers at the border and at train stations. Yeah, so that these mothers with these little babies are just running for their lives. When they get there, there's a stroller there to put the baby in.
Well, you know what I was saying to my husband as we were eating dinner before we went on air here? There are a lot of Ukrainian orphans being left behind because there's nobody for them. I wish I could get a Ukrainian baby and bring it to safety here.
Oh, don't worry about them. Angelina Jolie will snatch them up.
No, I don't think so. She's a big phony.
Well, she adopts just about anybody, you know. But, I mean, the situation over there is so dire, and yet the people of Poland who are being besieged by now over 2 million refugees are doing everything they can, everything humanly possible, to treat those people with the respect they deserve, to make them feel just a little bit better about having to flee their homeland. You know, you got to take your hats off to the people of Poland right now.
Yes, you do. And one thing people need to understand about these refugees, 99% of them will return home when this is over.
Right.
It's not that they were leaving their country behind. They were leaving the war behind because they have children or elderly relatives. They're doing it to save the family unit, to save the people of Poland. But one thing people forget, 2 million Ukrainians have left. 39 million are still in the country fighting for their country.
Right. And a lot of them just simply can't get out. They're in a location where there is no escape.
There is no escape. And you know what's kind of ironic? And I doubt Vladimir Putin is listening to our broadcast, but isn't it odd? You know, most of these people are escaping via train. Now, Putin has bombed some of the bus convoys of people leaving and killed civilians, but there's something odd about why he hasn't bombed the train stations.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you would think if you're trying to keep people from fleeing, you know. Now, today he did bomb a shopping center, a shopping mall.
Yeah.
Killed a lot of people there.
But not the train stations. And the only reason I can remotely think of as a possibility is that the person given the orders to do the bombing has refused.
Well, I think it's either that or Russia is looking at that as vital infrastructure. If they ever manage to seize total control of Ukraine, they don't want to destroy that piece of vital infrastructure because they're going to need the train system there to move arms and soldiers and things like that. So
that's a possibility. And yeah, you notice the destruction, the internal parts of Ukraine have been left alone so far. What Putin is doing is circling the country.
Right. Stalking them, really.
Well, no, locking them in.
Right.
With no way to escape. Now, yesterday, an interesting thing happened. Yeah, he was allowing certain escapees, and the people thought they were going to friendly countries. Instead, they were being routed to Belarus and Russia itself, and they were furious.
Well, you got that situation, and we've also heard from some of the captured soldiers that they were told when they were sent to the border, this is pre-invasion, that they were going to invade because the Nazis had taken over Ukraine.
Right. And I mean, a lot of the soldiers are literally not fighting. But what would be amazing, you know, more and more protesters, Russian protesters who are against what Putin is doing, are being arrested and thrown in jail. What needs to be done is the police, the Russian police that he's sending out to arrest them, if they had any courage and understand what the truth is, they wouldn't arrest one person. The Russian people would be very wise to seize this opportunity as a way to get rid of Putin.
You know, there was one Ukrainian woman, her mother lives in Russia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost impossible for this woman to convince her mother that Putin and Russia were killing civilians in Ukraine. Her mother just wouldn't believe it. Well, that's not happening. That's not what we're hearing on the news. That's not what the TV says.
Of course not. You mean the propaganda, the Putin propaganda.
Right, but I mean, think of that. This woman is trying to convince her own mother that this is happening, and her mother's not believing it. Wow.
Right. Because the internet access has been cut off. The media is basically, you know, Putin news 24/7. And speaking of that, you've got to give kudos to Elon Musk
for big
keeping
time.
Communications and the internet going in Ukraine.
He parked a whole bunch of Starlink satellites over Ukraine and opened them up to the Ukrainian people.
Yes.
That's
huge. You've
got
to give him kudos. Hey, that's a hell of a lot more than our own government has done to help.
Well, speaking of our own government, they haven't even thanked Elon Musk for doing it.
No. Oh, well, they never would.
No, they can't stand him.
He's not a fan of the Obama-Biden administration.
Not even a little bit. Folks, we got a big show coming up for you tonight. About a half an hour from now, I'm talking about the cause, effect, and ripple effects of globalism. Of course, that has to do with Ukraine. But when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, Diane's going to talk about Ukraine's hell. Only one solution is possible. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show. And if you miss any part of it, which you really don't want to do, but if you do, you go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you become one of the pod people just that quick.
Yes. And pod people, it's free.
It is. Don't have to sign up. You don't have to give us any information. Just click the button and listen. It's all we ask.
That's right.
It's not that much. Okay, so Diane, we're both talking about Ukraine. It's going to be the top story for a while, I'm afraid. You have taken it on in a very different way than I have. You've got Ukraine's hell, only one solution is possible.
Yes. And let's begin by saying this is a quote. We now have war in Europe on a scale and of a type we thought belonged to history. That was said by NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. The war started by Russia against the independent nation of Ukraine has given birth to both heroes and villains, some obvious, some preferring to stay in the shadows. But one thing I do know is that Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is a man who is the epitome of the word hero. And it's not just for his vowing to stand and fight for Ukraine, even when offered a way out, but this one man, a man of courage and fortitude, has almost single-handedly rallied the free world against Vladimir Putin, whose plans to rebuild the Russian Empire will, I believe, end in abysmal failure. So as I begin writing this article, on the fifth day of the Russia's war on Ukraine, the first round of ceasefire talks between Ukrainian and Russian delegations had wrapped up, and as expected, failed to produce anything but the promise to continue talks in the near future. And it appeared to me that those first talks were but a false flag being raised, because while those very talks were ongoing, Russian troops were busy shelling what they knew was a residential neighborhood in the eastern city of Kharkiv, killing at least 10 Ukrainian civilians, thus showing the world collateral damage be damned. But last week did hold a few positive surprises as the Russian economy entered freefall as international sanctions started taking effect, with the ruble dropping to its lowest level ever. Also, the historically neutral nation of Switzerland considered the Ukrainian situation so dire that even they took sides with Ukraine against Russia by joining in the European Union's sanctions against Russian assets, while Finland and Sweden both previously also not taking sides, are seriously considering joining both the EU and NATO as Russian aggression continues unabated. In fact, the EU announced for the first time in its history that they will directly send not only funds to Ukraine for weapons, but will send them much-needed fighter jets as well. Last week also saw President Zelensky signing an emergency request for Ukraine to immediately be admitted to the EU under a so-called new special procedure, while not saying what this procedure involves. However, the EU did approve Ukraine's application to join their organization, thus solidifying their promise of sending more military weapons and humanitarian aid to the now war-torn country. And fearing for his country's safety, Eugen Karas, Moldavia's ambassador to the UN, is also considering asking to join both the UN and NATO, no matter that Moldova has a neutrality provision written into its constitution. And why? Because a recently surfaced video shows Putin's puppet, Alexander Lukashenko, Belarus's president, standing in front of a map that appears to suggest that the Moldovan breakaway state of Transnistria is the next target for invasion. Also during this week, we saw Vasily Nebenyenza, the Russian ambassador to the UN, telling lie after lie about genocide being committed against the Russian nationals living in Ukraine, at the same time that Russian cluster munitions, what's known as vacuum bombs, were on Putin's direct orders being deliberately dropped on other populated civilian areas in Ukraine's east, in addition to those that had already targeted the city of Kharkiv. And while Putin knows that said bombs have been outlawed by the Geneva Convention, coupled with the fact of his already put his country's nuclear forces on high alert, Craig shows the world that he cares nothing about the Geneva Convention, let alone what the world thinks about him or his agenda. And I'll have more on that in a bit.
Well, I mean, all of this is just the tip of the iceberg when you think about it. You know, Zelensky is doing yeoman's work, not only from a fighting standpoint, but also from a diplomatic standpoint, while literally his homeland crumbles beneath his feet through no fault of his own. But he's also been a primary target, right?
Well, as last week progressed, we learned that Ukraine's armed forces stopped an assassination attempt against Zelensky. It seems that a unit of elite Chechen special forces known as Kadyrovites were involved in a plot to eliminate Ukraine's leader, but thankfully the only ones eliminated were the assassins themselves. However, Zelensky's life is still in great danger, as 400 members of the so-called Wagner Group, a group of Russian-paid mercenaries, bloodthirsty killers supposedly at Putin's beck and call, were given the assignment to, quote, decapitate Zelensky's government and prepare the ground for Moscow to take control. Given a list of 23 Ukrainians Putin targeted for assassination, with Zelensky topping said list, the Kilichko brothers are number two. And these two brothers, Vitaly and Vladimir, both world-class boxing champions, are a personal thorn in Putin's side, for their now deceased father was a Soviet loyalist, a high-ranking Russian military commander who was a hero of sorts at Chernobyl, and a personal friend of Putin. And yet both sons are now actively, vocally, and publicly fighting for Ukraine, the ultimate slap in the face to a man whose ego thrives on loyalty to himself and to Mother Russia. Then on Wednesday, in a rare emergency special session, China officially said no to sanctioning Russia, while Wang Weibin, spokesman for China's foreign ministry stated China would continue, quote, normal trade cooperation with Russia in the spirit of mutual respect, equality, and mutual benefit, thus directly going against China's repeated claims that it respects a state's sovereignty. Also, China abstained during a UN General Assembly vote, a non-binding resolution, really a symbolic vote, which passed with 141 A's, that called for Russia to, quote, halt its war on Ukraine and withdraw its military forces. Only five nations, Craig, opposed the resolution. Russia, of course, Belarus, Eritrea, North Korea, and Syria, all nations within Putin's sphere of influence. But a big surprise was when Cuba, a staunch ally of Russia, abstained as well.
That came as quite a shock when Cuba did that, honestly.
Yes.
Now, from a geographic standpoint, if you can, let's call it geographic militarism, what are we looking at within the borders of Ukraine right now, as far as the cities, as far as the movements of the Russian military? What do we know?
Okay, well, by midweek of last week, Russia claimed control of the southern port city of Kherson, with Russian troops seen in the city center. And as street battles continued on in Kharkiv, Kiev braced itself for a Russian ground assault now that the stalled 40-mile-long caravan of men, munitions, and assault equipment started slowly moving forward again, with the end game being to circle Kiev, move in, and take over the city. And even though on Thursday, the second round of ceasefire talks again failed, Russia agreed not to fire on civilian evacuees. Little side note, we know they didn't hold to that. However, with no guarantee that would hold true, and with the eyes of the world continuing to rightfully vilify Putin for his invasion of Ukraine, Putin continued to not only challenge current world order by attempting to change national borders, but he did so via his committing atrocities that equate to a possible charge of war crimes being leveled against both he and his generals. How so? According to the Geneva Convention of 1949, war crimes include the willful killing and extensive destruction of property not justified by military necessity and carried out unlawfully and wantonly. And how could Putin's actions be anything less than criminal, as he invaded a country who was not at war with Russia, nor posed any threat to Russia? And Ukraine's Hell Week also saw Russian forces seizing Ukraine's Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the largest of Europe's nuclear plants, hit by Russian shelling early Friday morning. A fire broke out in a parking lot near one of the plant's six reactors, but Ukrainian authorities said the safety of the reactors had not been compromised. However, if the fighting continues, it could interrupt power to the plant, forcing the use of less dependable diesel generators to operate in needing cooling systems. And so all of Europe is now on alert, for Chernobyl did what it did with but its one reactor melting down. Imagine if all six of Zaporizhia's were breached. Simply, half of Europe and even parts of Russia would become uninhabitable for decades to come. So with last Friday's decision by NATO not to place a no-fly zone over Ukraine, Russian violence is escalating, along with reports that Putin plans to hold public executions of dissidents and captured Ukraine fighters alike. And with protests against Russia continuing worldwide, including in parts of Russia itself, Craig, Putin has ordered a media blackout throughout the country for fear that the truth of atrocities being committed against Ukraine in Russia's name would not sit well with the Russian people.
Well, how is all this playing on the world stage? Because the entire world is looking at Putin, trying to figure out what he's going to do next. World leaders included. It's not just the media trying to figure it out. It's world leaders. So, you know, what's their take on this? Where do they stand? What do they think he's going to do next?
Wow. With Putin still alluding to Russian nuclear capabilities, world leaders and foreign policy experts now fear that Vladimir Putin might be both paranoid and delusional for, according to them, only a madman, a sociopath, would put his nation's nuclear forces on alert after invading a neighboring country by falsely claiming he did so in self-defense. And while I understand why some now question Putin's sanity itself, I instead see him as somewhat successfully having played the world via actions we should have seen coming but didn't. For months, Putin has left a trail of clues we should have picked up on but didn't, as we instead have our and the world's eyes focused on what were cleverly crafted diversionary tactics. And here, I believe, enters China and COVID-19, topped off with China's refusal to sanction or even condemn Russia's actions, with the reasons for doing so hiding in obviously plain sight. Also, it must be remembered that Vladimir Putin remains a former KGB official who specialized in killing, and is a man who has continuously violated international law and committed human rights violations. Just ask those living in Chechnya and Georgia. And his reason for doing so was then as it is now with Ukraine, in that Putin claims he only sent in troops to protect Russians residing in countries who wish to be, quote, reunited with the motherland. But it's unfortunate that until now, he really has gotten away with it, while at the same time masking his true intentions of rebuilding the all-encompassing Russian Empire of old. Restoring Russian dominance over former Soviet satellites, courtesy of negating Ukraine as a sovereign nation, via his claim that Ukraine is linked, quote, geographically, historically, and culturally to Mother Russia, is just his first step in not only empire building, but in hope for Russian world domination.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Diane, because we're getting a sense now of what you've told us, what the world is thinking of Putin. But I guess maybe an even more important question is, what is Putin thinking of himself? Where is he in this? Where do you think his mind is in all of this?
Well, seeing himself as the self-appointed czar of all Russia, Putin is a master of turning any perceived weakness shown by others into an opportunity to bolster both himself and Mother Russia. And so he waited out Trump to seize the opportunity that a weak Joe Biden easily afforded him. And know that Putin has never hidden his true political agenda, an agenda that includes his stopping American dominance over global affairs, what he calls a, quote, unipolar world. And Putin truly believes that America wants to expand NATO to Russian borders, forgetting that what he's now doing actually sees Russia on NATO's borders. But does he care? Of course not. For Vladimir Putin sees himself as the incarnate of Hitler's supposed military genius, minus the mass exterminations, the ovens, and the camps. So the question is, can Vladimir Putin truly be stopped? And I say, yes, he can, but only by literally taking him out. And whether some like it or not, the truth is that Vladimir Putin must die, as well as those in his inner circle, as in loyalists to Putin himself or to another just like him, or worse, and to their goal of Russian world domination. And it must be done post haste, either by someone or even a group of someones in the Russian military who know the wrongs being committed in Russia's name, or by a rogue agent willing to risk his or her own life, so that not only will Ukraine's hell finally be over, but so the Russian people themselves can be free of communist dictatorial rule. Remember, communism has proven to be but a failed political and economic system originally put into place to bolster the misguided concept of dictatorship of the proletariat. So now, as I was finishing writing this article, it's day 12 of Russia's war on Ukraine, and it ends with Russia's military having shelled both a second Ukraine nuclear power plant, as well as buses full of civilians trying to flee the outskirts of Kiev. And with, to date, again as I was writing this, 1.5 million Ukrainians having become refugees, while thousands on both sides lay dead, know that even if Putin wins said war, it does not necessarily mean he will ever be able to keep what passes in the end for peace. Simply, if Vladimir Putin is not out of the picture, the words of Albert Einstein can indeed come back to haunt. For after Putin's initiated war ends, a war that could easily turn into a nuclear-driven World War III, the next war will indeed be fought with sticks and stones. Case closed.
You know, what's interesting is that eventually Putin may well control Ukraine, but I don't think he can ever really control the Ukrainian people. That much has become clear. They're not rolling over. They're not cowering in fear. They're standing up to him. So even if he does manage to seize control of the country, and by that I mean the country's government, he will never control the people.
Correct. Absolutely.
It's both a fascinating and a terrifying situation when you think of it that way, because if he can't control the people, what will he do to them in an effort to control them?
Killing. The only way he will ever be able to control the Ukrainian people, I think, is by public killings, public executions, scaring them so badly that there is no will to fight back. I don't perceive that to happen. I think the Ukrainians are very strong people.
I think they're a lot stronger than the rest of the world ever gave them credit for.
Right.
And I think Putin has overreached here. You know, we've all been conditioned, really, since the Cold War, to fear the Russian war machine. Okay? But this is a country that, just as we did, spent 20 years in Afghanistan and accomplished nothing.
Correct.
Okay. I have friends that fought in Desert Storm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Personal friends, people I used to work with. And
sure.
They told me that the Iraqis had the top-of-the-line Russian tanks out there in the desert. And we were able to shoot those tanks full of holes. They really were not armored the way we were led to believe they were, you know. So you wonder just how battle ready is Russia. Now, I'm sure Putin thought this, like you said in the piece, this is going to be a pushover. We're just going to be able to go in there and they'll all just lay down and roll over. Well, it didn't happen, and here we are now 2 weeks in, and he still doesn't really have control of much of anything.
No, he really doesn't. He has, well, that's not quite true. He does have full control of some port cities.
Yeah, along the Black Sea, but even that is tenuous at best. I mean, yeah, he's got them for now, but can he hold on to them? Because he's got to be able to supply those fighters that are there. And right now, it appears that he's having trouble supplying that 40-mile caravan.
True. They did not accomplish what he set them out to do. But many members of that caravan who did have phones with them and could get the internet access through Elon Musk's, you know, gift to Ukraine, they're finding out that they were told that they were there for military exercises, not to kill civilians.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are confused.
Are not following orders.
Well, I think a lot of them are terribly confused right now. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And that's sure. really a command and control issue on Russia's part.
Right. Their military has basically, even if Putin eventually succeeds, what he thought was going to be at the most 3 days is going to be a hell of a lot longer than he ever thought it would be, with more casualties on Russia's side than he ever thought there would be.
Well, and, you know, as the weapons trickle in to the Ukrainian people, and that's all it is at this point, and that's a shame, but it is a trickle. But as the weapons continue to trickle in there, it's amazing to me what the Ukrainian fighters, and we're not just talking about their regular army, we're talking about anybody that can hold a weapon, what they're able to do at this point. It's amazing.
It really is amazing, and I think really part of that is because of Zelensky.
Yeah, there's a big motivating factor there.
He's kind of like, he's holding the flag, leading the charge. There is a tangible person leading the charge. And sometimes that's all it takes.
Well, he certainly has rallied the people. And yes. And that is something I don't think Putin ever counted on.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, I got to let people in on the inside here in the couple minutes we've got left in this segment. This was a very hard article to put together because things were happening so fast. Mm-hmm. Diana and I both, in her op-ed and my commentary that we're doing tonight, we had to keep stopping and going back and changing things, taking things out, adding new things, because it was happening so fast and we were writing literally in the moment.
Yes. And for me, you know, I dreaded having to read this article, not because of the content, but because of the Russian name.
Well, and let's give Diana a round of applause here for getting all those names right and having her tongue stay in her mouth.
I got them as close as I could. Give me Chinese, give me Japanese, give me Korean, give me Vietnamese, give me any of the what most people cannot pronounce, and it comes very naturally. But give me these Russian names, and it's like, oh, dear God.
Well, you only had two or three of them in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, the name of the op-ed, Ukraine's Hell, Only One Solution Is Possible. That solution is taking Putin out. And, you know, it's yet to be seen whether anybody's got the brass cojones to try it.
Or maybe, hopefully, his own people, Russian people, will say, we've had enough of this.
Yeah, but he's not going to listen, not even to his own people.
No, of course not.
It's going to have to be somebody inside his inner circle, somebody that he trusts to be near him, that's yes. going to have to take it out. I don't know what the Russian name for Brutus is, but Et tu, Brute,
it could very well be, and hopefully it will be, because, you know, a lot of people who read my article, the ones that are on Putin's side, how dare you call for his execution? Well, isn't he executing Ukrainians?
Every day.
Exactly.
Day and night, nonstop. Again,
close.
Yep. Again, it's Ukraine's Hell, Only One Solution Is Possible. Two places you can find it. Go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Or go to rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link, read it, and share it. Things are going to change in a hurry, and that's why we're going to be talking about Ukraine again on Friday and again next Tuesday and again and again and again.
Until it's over.
Yeah, something's...
It needs to be over because too many people are dying, and for what?
Sooner or later, something's got to give.
Yes.
You know, that's really what it comes down to. Folks, grab that link, either place, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com, and share it everywhere. With that, we've hit the top of the hour. Got to take another quick break. When we come back, I'm talking about the cause, effect, and ripple effects of globalism. Stay with us. Yes. There's more on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori with you, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show. And like I said before, if you miss any part of it, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. We'll be there. Just click the podcast button, and by golly, the show will be right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, let's continue our discussions tonight about Ukraine and the situation that's going on there. The cause, effect, and ripple effects of globalism. Since August 24th, 1991, Ukraine has been an independent country, and in those 31 years, Ukraine has done nothing to Russia. Yes, since its inception, Ukraine has been corrupt. That should go without saying, but that's been their problem and nobody else's. The corruption in Ukraine has been part and parcel of the government there. It has not been the agenda of the Ukrainian people, although the people there have been taken advantage of by their government, and they have not enjoyed the sort of freedoms they expected when the nation became an independent state. To be clear, the government, through several changes in leadership, has been corrupt, a level of corruption that has eased somewhat under the current leadership of Volodymyr Zelensky. Because of their version of the swamp, corruption continues to exist in Ukraine. That is a commentary for a different day. What's pressing right now is the situation at hand and the response to it, all of it from liberal Marxists in our own swamp. The Democratic Socialists of America, which boasts such notable elected liberal Marxists as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Bernie Sanders, released a statement last week that read in part, and I quote, DSA reaffirms our call for the U.S. to withdraw from NATO and to end the imperialist expansionism that set the stage for this conflict, unquote. Now that statement went on to say, and again I quote, while the failures of neoliberal order are clear to everyone, the ruling class is trying to build a new world through a dystopic transition grounded in militarism, imperialism, and war. Socialists have a duty to build an alternative, unquote. The irony of that statement is actually too thick to cut with a chainsaw. First of all, imperialist expansion set the stage for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and that is somehow the fault of the U.S. and NATO? Well, I hate to break it to the liberal Marxists, but neither the U.S. nor NATO invaded Ukraine, and there is no such thing as NATO countries or the U.S. engaging in expansionism. Russia invaded Ukraine, and it is Russia that is hell-bent on imperialist expansion. Second, the failures of the neoliberal order are clear to everyone. Socialism is the very ideology that has become the opiate of the masses, championed by the ilk of AOC and Bernie Sanders, and it's what has clearly failed in every place and every time it has been adopted. Neoliberalism refers to market-oriented reform policies, such as eliminating price controls, deregulating capital markets, lowering trade barriers, and reducing, especially through privatization, the austerity state influence of the economy. Diane, obviously, members of the Democratic Socialists of America want more government control of everybody's money and business, whether it be personal business or medical business or even entrepreneurial businesses, not less. What these so-called Democratic Socialists want is what Putin has, communism, because socialism is the forerunner of communism.
Oh, yes, it is. And it's a special kind of communism. But, you know, they continued bloviating even more and added more ridiculous words to their statement.
Well, yeah, they went on to say, quote, we stand in solidarity with the working class of Ukraine and Russia, who will undoubtedly bear the brunt of this war, and with anti-war protesters in both countries and around the world who are calling for a diplomatic resolution, unquote. Interesting, isn't it? These are the same people from the same political party in our country that championed the BLM and Antifa riots that saw arson, mayhem, murders, and assaults across our own country for a full year, and then stood opposed to peaceful protests and the working class truckers in socialist Canada. The liberal Marxists in our country are tying themselves into knots, trying to make out that the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is somehow the fault of Donald Trump. But it didn't start with the invasion. It started during the 2020 campaign when Joe Biden made the following video that's in my blog embedded as part of his own campaign. Folks, this is a video where he stands there and literally says, Putin does not want me to become president. Okay.
Yes, he did. He was waiting and salivating.
I know. It's a short video. It's only about 45 seconds long. And when you go to the blog at thenationalpatriot.com, you got to watch that video. It did not age well. All right. Honestly, you can trace the feeble attempts to project their own future failures on Trump all the way back to the 2016 campaign when, according to the liberal Marxists, it was Trump who would get us into one war after another. They claimed that Trump would start World War III. They claimed that Trump was too friendly with Putin, and they claimed that Trump had no ability to engineer foreign policy. But it was Trump, in retrospect, that was the champion of peace through strength. It was Trump who held NATO accountable for ponying up to their fair share of the defense costs. It was Trump who made us energy independent so as not to have to rely on foreign oil, which, because of Joe Biden, we are now buying nearly 500 million barrels a day, or we were up until today, from guess who? Russia. According to the liberal Marxists, it was Trump who engaged in quid pro quo with Ukraine, but in reality, it was Biden, and he bragged about it on video. Biden was in bed with Ukraine, Hillary was bedding down with Russia, but it certainly wasn't Donald Trump. Once again, none of what's happening between Russia and Ukraine today is on Trump, and all of it is on Biden because Putin really did want Biden to become president. Trump was making Putin's world a very tough place to be, but Biden, from his first day in office, relaxed or eliminated sanctions on Russia and started the money flowing and the ball rolling for the invasion of Ukraine by Putin. Diane, that's just a glimpse of things glaring from the surface scratch of this situation, but beneath the surface there is much more that I think needs to be exposed.
Well, I actually think you need to expose who actually is Putin's greatest ally.
Ooh, yeah. Look, Putin is the bane of Europe's existence and fast becoming a pariah on the world stage, and it should go without saying that his greatest ally is, in fact, Joe Biden. After all, Putin wouldn't be doing what he's doing now were Biden not in office. In fact, he's been waiting for the ilk of Biden, especially after 4 years of Donald Trump's leadership. But our problem in our country goes much deeper than just Joe Biden. During his State of the Union speech, while referring to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Biden said, quote, "The cost and the threats to America and the world keep rising," unquote. No kidding. The cost to Americans is rising at the gas pump, at the grocery store, and in nearly every aspect of our daily lives. While we're not paying the price in blood, at least not yet, we are paying higher and higher prices for nearly every commodity we consume. And why is that? I mean, aside from the already rampant inflation? Because the nasty little secret is that nearly all liberals, and dare I say it, far too many Republicans in name only, are exactly what Putin is beneath the surface. Globalists. The definition of globalism is simple. It's the operation or planning of economic and foreign policy on a global basis. Trump was America first. He saw and understood the danger inherent in globalism and knew that unless we separated our great nation from the pack of globalists, we would soon see what we're seeing today. Bill Clinton, who engineered the denuclearization of Ukraine in the 1990s, was a globalist. Hillary Clinton, who sold 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia, is a globalist. Obama, Biden's puppet master, is a globalist, and so, by default, his puppet Biden is a globalist. When they tied our nation's economy to the economies of the rest of the world, which includes some pretty bad actors like Putin, under sanctions against Putin's economy, our economy will also necessarily suffer. Early last week, Biden said he had not sanctioned Putin's oil because he didn't want to disrupt Russia's exports. He didn't tell us why he didn't want to disrupt Russia's exports, but I'll tell you that if we disrupt Putin's oil exports, we would be interrupting our oil imports because we do import, or did, 550 million barrels of Putin's oil each and every day. And Diane, that is one of the definitions of globalism.
Well, there are many other components to globalism, if you will. And it goes beyond just bringing in oil. So why don't you go into some of those?
Well, okay, when we sanction Russia's banks, which we are in fact sanctioning right now, our own ability to do international business, because our economy is in part tied to Russia's economy, as well as being tied to so many other European countries' economies, And those countries are also sanctioning Russia. That's globalism. Ban Russia from using SWIFT banking services, and it also restricts the amount of transactions available to the free world, including the United States. That's globalism. While the free world, in reaction to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, places more and more sanctions on Russia, those sanctions also affect the economies of the free world. That's socialism. That's globalism. Look, even social media platforms are cutting Russia off at the knees, censoring their posts on one platform after the next. Many conservatives say, finally, social media is doing the right thing. But are they? You think Facebook, Twitter, Google, and the rest are big-time freedom-loving entities that are just standing up for David against Goliath? Or could this be their chance at a dry run for cutting off their platforms from any and all who disagree with their political agenda? We conservatives, that's who. The speed at which they're able to do this, to end their services to Putin's Russia, should give you pause before you praise them for doing so, because you might be next. And why would I slip that into the middle of a rant regarding globalism? Because shutting down those social media platforms and access to information is done the exact same way that sanctions are put in place, with a click or two on a computer keyboard, which begs the question, who will be next to be clicked into the sanction abyss should they try something against a peaceful nation? China? Iran? As prices at home climb due to the sanctions against Russia, what do you think things would look like if we found ourselves sanctioning China, where nearly everything we want or need is manufactured? Sure, the loss of our business would wreck China's economy, but it would also wreck our own. And Diane, again, that is yet another component of globalism.
Right. And basically, we feed off other countries feed off us. And just the whole process of what we're doing now, not sticking strictly with Buy American, Made in American, we're actually funneling into the whole globalism concept.
Yeah, and it's obviously the ramifications of it are pretty dire. Look,
exactly.
When you can force an ill effect on a rogue nation without harming your own economy or the economies of your allies, that is called leverage. And it often results in peace through strength. There is no leverage in globalism, and there is no peace through strength. Obama went on an 8-year apology tour and set about giving up our international leverage through horrible trade deals and with the insane Iranian nuclear deal. For the next 4 years, President Trump rebuilt our leverage by resetting trade deals in our favor, renegotiating peace deals to our allies' favor, and making us energy independent to the favor of our country and to the country of our allies. The cause of what we're doing and seeing today, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, is globalism. The effect is sanctions aimed at crippling Russia's economy, and the ripple effect is that those sanctions are also hurting the economies of our nation and the economies of our allies. When oil hits between $185 and $200 a barrel, and it's going to be there, I think, by this time next week, the globalist elites will still be able to fill their tanks and buy food at the grocery. The question is, will you be able to do the same? I don't know what the Russian word for uncle is, but it's a fair bet that we'll say it before Russia does, and that is globalism.
Yes, it absolutely is globalism, and it's staring us in the face. And you know what? We're allowing it to happen because we should be having massive protests in this country to reopen the pipeline, support what the truckers are doing. You're hearing very, very little, if anything, about the big trucker, you know, convergence on D.C. We're not even standing up for ourselves, Craig. We're just giving in to globalism.
I know. It's sad. And, I mean, we've been programmed by this for over 30 years.
Exactly.
I mean, this whole globalism nonsense began with Bill Clinton, and it certainly hasn't eased up. And I'm not saying it was just Clinton and Obama and Hillary that were part of it. So was George W. Bush, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Reagan almost single-handedly brought down the Soviet Union with his line, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down the wall. He led us to the right way. Unfortunately, the right way was blocked by Bill Clinton, and everything just went to hell from that point on.
Well, it did. You think about Ronald Reagan, and you think about what he did. Okay. He could have easily tried to climb into bed with the Russians, but he didn't do that. He bitch slapped them every chance he got. He cut them off at the knees. He cut them down to size. He forced them to say uncle, and they finally did.
Exactly. And what's very odd about this, in my article I talked about taking out Putin for certain reasons. Your article kind of leads me to say we need Putin gone for other reasons, more on the economic level, make America great again. We should be dealing with our own country, not worried about what the globalists think.
Right.
However, there is like a tie between the two. You can't separate now the way things are going. You can't separate what's happening here in our country from what's happening in the world. And it's only going to get worse is the problem.
Yeah,
until the 2022 midterms. If we take back the House and the Senate, we can stop the Democrats.
Well, we can, but what is going to take a lot of time to dismantle is the globalism aspect that we find ourselves in. I mean, it's not just Russia that we're in bed with. Unfortunately, right. It's also China.
China. Big time with China.
You know, and I mean, we have gone so far to the globalism end of things that anything, you know, if China were to invade Taiwan, what would we do? Are we going to...
Biden is president, probably not a damn thing.
Well, you're right, but if they do it the way Putin's doing it in Ukraine, then, you know, what do? Do we slap a whole bunch of these sanctions that we put on Russia against China? And if we do that, our Made in America thing, we don't have enough stuff that we're making in America right now to survive doing that to a country like China.
You gear up every American factory, every American farm, and every and anything, and you cut China off completely. We don't need China. China needs us as far as their economy. Screw their economy. Let's take care of our own. We don't need Russian oil. We don't need Venezuelan oil. We don't need Iranian oil. Hear that, Biden? We know what you're up to. We don't need any of that. We need the pipeline, the part two built. We need the original part turned back on. We need to do everything here for Americans, by Americans. We don't need these other countries to survive. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be.
Well, and the better off the rest of the world will be. You know,
exactly.
A strong America is a purveyor of peace through strength.
Right.
But a globalist America is a weak-kneed, lily-livered, crawling worm. And that's what we've become at this point. And I hate to say that. I shudder at the thought of where we would be today as a country had we not had 4 years of President Trump. Imagine if Hillary would have won that election, and this would have all accelerated. We'd now be in year five of the situation we find ourselves in now.
We might even be speaking Russian.
I mean, good Lord, think of that. You know, thankfully, President Trump came along and reversed a lot of that stuff and gave us a 4-year breather. And we now know it can be done. Okay.
Yes.
There's no reason why it can't be done again.
If Trump gets back in, talk about Biden signing EOs at the Resolute desk. Trump will negate every single thing that Biden's put in place. And when you think about it, there's not one good thing Biden has put in place in America's favor.
No, not one. It's all benefiting everybody else, but none of it is benefiting our country and our people.
He's ashamed of this country, and he's being fed this nonsense by his puppet master. He's just spewing out what he's told to do, folks. Biden is so far gone, I don't think he has a cognitive thought left in his head.
I guarantee it. I mean, it's that he's just dancing at the end of the string.
Right. And he is no match for Vladimir Putin.
No. No, Putin on his worst day can run circles around Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's sad. That should never happen. It's going to be interesting to see what becomes of all of this between now and Friday. I mean, it's happening so fast. We're going to have all new things to talk about on Friday. But this commentary, The Cause, Effect, and Ripple Effects of Globalism, you can get either at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place you go, you can find the link and share it everywhere.
Yep. Well, you know, unfortunately, we are going to be having to talk about Ukraine probably for many weeks to come, and rightfully so. You know, we thought all this ended with COVID, but no, we now have something else that we have to focus on.
Yeah,
but you notice, since Ukraine erupted, COVID has gone bye-bye.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's nothing
Ukraine
like the beginning
war
of
war is over, a new variation will be back. I guarantee it.
Nothing like the possible beginning of World War III to cure a disease.
That's true. And that I will be talking about, not disease, but World War III next Tuesday.
Well, and next Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about the energy aspect. I'm going to focus on the energy aspect of all this.
And I have a few choice things I'm going to be saying about Joe Biden.
Well, I've got a few choice things I'm going to be saying about a lot of things. Let's put it this way. My commentary for next Tuesday is going to be a wee bit on the snarky side.
No, mine is going to be very science-based with tangible facts given, where people are going to go, oh, my God.
Yeah, and I've had a sneak preview of about half of what Diane's putting together, so I can attest to the fact that you're going to really be surprised by some of it.
Yes.
But Diane, I think we're just about out of time here tonight.
And I'm just about out of steam.
Well, and I got a chicken dinner waiting for me, so.
Okay.
I think it's time sign off.
Yeah, with that, nighty-night, folks.
Folks, have a great night, a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.